Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, notice the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. By the way, what a powerful statement that is. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Verse 6, and whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. Woe to that man by whom the offenses come. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Heavenly Father, bless us as we take the morning and we examine once again what our Savior has taught us about children. Thank you for what we just witnessed, what we just saw. And Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us as a church family, to rededicate ourselves to reaching children for Jesus Christ, Lord, and then to disciple them and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bless parents, Lord. Thank you so much for our parents that have just bought in. They've sold out. They said, we're going to raise our children for Jesus Christ. We're going to raise our children in church. Thank you for their decision, their dedication. Lord, bless them and honor that decision for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Oh, this has been so long ago you wouldn't remember, so I'm going to tell you the story. I don't think there's a person in here that would have. By the way, if I could get a little more volume, I'd appreciate that. I don't think there's a person in here that would have an inkling of who I was talking about, but several years ago, it's been several years now, there was a man and his wife that began to attend for some time Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They didn't come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They came just on Sunday mornings, and of course that's good and a great starting point, and we're always glad to have folks come with us and be with us. But they were in the beginning process. One of the men in our church had just gotten a burden for this man and began to witness to him and began to go see him on a regular basis, and he had some interaction with him from time to time. And literally, I suppose probably 10, 15, 20 times, he went to this man's house with the purpose of trying to reach him for Christ and invite him to church and get him heading for the... By the way, thank God when God just gives you a burden for somebody and you won't let go of it. You remember when you first started going to church and you know what? Maybe you were tempted to drift off and there was that person that just kept coming after you and coming after you and say, and when you weren't there, they'd call you or they'd check on you. And hey, listen to me, that you may not know it now, but that's the best friend you've got in the world right there. Somebody that's trying to help you to grow in the Lord. And this couple came, and they came just on a Sunday morning. They came for several months, and then I noticed that they missed, and then they quit coming. So I went out to the house to see them and made an appointment and called up and said, let me talk to you, and went to their house and said, you know, as a preacher would do, I went in there trying to restore them and recruit them, getting back into church. Well, preacher, he said as he sat in the living room with me, preacher, he said, we've been going to another church with some friends, and we probably will start going to that other church. And let me say this, I'm not saying that God never moves somebody from one church to the other. We all know that he does that from time to time. But this was a church that does not preach salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. They do not. They preach a work salvation. This is a church, and this is what I told him. I said, let me ask you, these friends that you have, when you were lost, the friends now that want you to go with them, when you were lost, all of those years when you and your wife were lost and dying and on your way to hell, did they ever work to get you to church then? Let me just say something, because this will go on the radio, and I want to say it, and hopefully people will listen to it. Well, Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, they put this Sunday morning sermon on the radio down there, 9 o'clock. So there's a bunch of people now driving to church. Let me say something to you. You know what? If you're not going to go win somebody to Christ, and you're not going to go knock on doors, and you're not going to try to get anybody saved, just because Blessed Hope Baptist Church is doing it, would you leave our converts alone? It is amazing. You'll go to work, and you'll never witness that guy one time. But he walks into work and said, "Hey, I got saved last Sunday at Blessed Hope Baptist Church." And all of a sudden, now you want to get him into your church. Listen, you lazy devil, why don't you go win somebody yourself? And I don't understand something else. I don't understand somebody that would come to a church, and that's the church that God used to get the gospel to them and get them saved. And all of a sudden, now they're just not much interested in going. They found an easier church. You know, if you're saved, you're going to have to just make some decisions right out of the chute. When you get saved, you're going to have to figure out some things. You're going to have to decide some things. I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of churches out there that if you go there, you won't hear certain parts of the Bible preached. You won't have anything required. You'll never be challenged. None of your sins will ever be preached against. And it may be seem to be a comfortable situation to be in. But let me say this. You will go there and you will stagnate and you will not grow and you will not go on for God's glory and your children. Listen, I'm a little sick of this. Hey, come to our church. You know what? You're a Christian. You don't have to make any changes. I mean, just come the way you are. We live worldly. We act worldly. We do worldly things. But we just sprinkle a little Jesus on top of it, and that makes us feel good about ourselves. Now, if you're looking for that kind of church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church is not that kind of a church. It's the kind of church where a preacher's going to get up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." The Bible's going to be preached. And by the way, the Bible challenges us as new Christians and challenges us, amen, people, as older Christians too. I mean, always we're being confronted with something that God says you can go higher and you can go farther. You can be more holy. You can be better used. I mean, we ought to always be open to allowing the Word of God to help us to grow. And it grieves my heart when I see somebody come here and is genuinely saved and we have a chance to take them from that point and grow them in the Lord. But you know what? They settle for a worldly church that is never going to take them one step farther in their Christian life. I'm a little saddened by that. But I listened to the man, and he said to me, he said, "Well, preacher, there's some things in this other church that we kind of like." He said, first of all, he said, "When you preach," he said, "sometimes you holler. And I'll be honest with you," he said, "that just bothers me a little bit." And I said, "Oh, okay, all right." And I'm just listening, you know. And I thought to myself, well, you know what? You're just going to have to be bothered, because there's some things that I ought to holler about. The Bible says, "Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show the people their sin." You know, yeah, if you want, you know, hey, I got some women preachers you ought to go check out, amen. And in fact, I got some men that preachers that remind me of women preachers that you probably ought to go check out if you want somebody to sit up there and give you a little pep talk and have the Joel Osteen smile and pat you on the head and tell you what a good boy you are. I mean, listen, folks, would to God somebody would get some fire behind the pulpit. There ought to be tears in the pulpit. There ought to be some emotion in the pulpit. People are going to hell. There ought to be somebody to get excited about. Had somebody tell me, "Well, so-and-so don't come anymore because it's not your preaching that they didn't like. It's that some of your men keep shouting amen." Well, I'm sorry. Sorry we kept you awake. Bless your heart. We're sorry if we're excited here about the things of the Lord. Hey, men, just keep shouting amen. Don't worry about that. You're always going to have people here and there that's got an opinion. And you know what? Folks that don't want to go to church, it's not the preaching. It's not the volume. It's not the guy saying amen. They just don't want to go. So they got to find somebody to blame for their backslidden condition. But I just listened to the man, and I said, "Well, okay." And then he said, "You know, another thing," he said, "is this new church has a paved parking lot. And you know what? You guys don't have a paved parking lot." And then he just looked at me, and I said, "Well, yeah, you got me there. We don't have a paved parking lot. Now, we've started raising money for one, and I think by about 2043 we'll have the money to pave the parking lot. And if it gets done, I think it'd be great. I think it'd make the property look fantastic. I think it'd be a wonderful thing. It'd help us with maintenance." And by the way, folks, literally thousands of dollars a year. You may not realize this. We just had a couple loads of rock brought in. You know what? It just gets absorbed down. I mean, there's reason. But here's his reasoning. And I thought again, okay, well, all right. I holler, and we don't have a paved parking lot. And then he said, "And I don't like using the song books." He said, "I have a hard time seeing them. But in this church, they have a big a screen, and they put the words right up there on the screen, and there's a little bouncy ball, and you can follow the bouncy ball and sing the song. And I said, okay, all right, you got to, I holler, and we don't have pavement, and you like the bouncy ball. And I said, okay, all right, so I'm listening to this, and I'm at this point realizing, you know what, these people probably aren't going to come back to Blessed Old Baptist Church, because I'm not going to stop hollering, and unless this guy wants to give me $120,000 right now, I'm probably not going to get my parking lot paved. And you know what? We're just going to keep using songbooks. I mean, sorry. And, you know, it's funny. It's worked for the last 200 years, but all of a sudden now, nobody can hold a songbook and sing. They want the bouncy ball, and we don't have the bouncy ball here, okay? And we're not going to have the bouncy ball. Sorry about that. And so I'm listening to all these spiritual reasons, and I haven't said a word. I'm just listening. Okay, okay. And you know, and then he said that he said another thing. He said, I'm going to tell you, sometimes when me and my wife are trying to get outside the church, he said, the children, there's so many children running around, and he said, one of them, and by the way, I know that we ought to tell the children and train the children, and I know that children need to be careful, and I understand it. And I'm if you're back there in the foyer, one of the guys that are back there holding kids back and barking at kids and telling them, hey, watch that. It's me. I'm the chief guy back there along with our usher. I don't want to see anybody hurt. But you know what? Can I say this? Last time I checked, children were children. And you know what? Children, they move first, think later. They're not always going to do. Hey, you know what? If you're waiting, hey, I think we're the adults, aren't we? The one that's going to watch them. They're not going to really watch us a whole lot. And now all of a sudden, right there, I went, okay, wait, time out. And I said to him, I said, you know what? If you don't like my preaching, that's fine. And if you don't like my hollering, I'm sorry. I'm going to holler, brother. I'm excited about the things of God. I said, if you don't like our gravel, you know, I'm sorry, but that's what we've got, and it's the best we can do right now. Now, if we took all the money that we have put into the fuel on running 5 buses and 2 vans all these years, if we took all the money that we put into buying buses, but I'm going to tell you this, I wouldn't trade our parking lot for our bus ministry any day of the week. And I said, you know, it's funny, this church that you say you want to go, all of a sudden you're infatuated with this church. Nobody from that church ever gave you the gospel when you were lost. It was somebody from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It was the church with no parking lot but got all the buses. Because you know what? Buses are more important to us than pavement. And we're going to reach bus kids and put them as priority number one, because Jesus, as we see here, thought the greatest of these, who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? The church that had the paved parking lot. That's the greatest in the kingdom of God. No, it's the church that understood that children are greatest in the kingdom of God. No, we're going to have our hymnals, and I'm sorry. I said, but you know what? All of those things, that's just whatever you think. But I said, let me just tell you right now. If you don't like the children, you're never going to like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If children bother you, you will always be bothered going to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know why? Because children are number one at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I got up and shook the man's hand. I was kind. I wasn't unkind. I really wasn't. If anybody had been there as a member, you would have been proud of your preacher, how restrained, how nice and kind I was. I wasn't there to try to upset them. And I wasn't there after a few minutes realizing that they'd made their decision already, really to try to change their mind. But you know what? Hey, criticize me if you want to criticize. Criticize our buildings if you want to criticize. Criticize our parking lot if you want to criticize. Criticize our songbooks if you want to criticize. But don't you dare criticize the children here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Don't you dare talk bad about this church because we have a lot of children. You know what, folks? I've spent my life in and out of churches, and I can tell you right now, I could walk in any church in this county and tell you whether or not that church is alive or whether or not that church is dying or near dead. And I can tell by one thing. You look around and show me how many children are in that church. What you just saw a few minutes ago is life. That's what you saw. What you saw a few minutes ago is a future. What you saw a few minutes ago is priority one here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Because you know what? A lot of churches give lip service to the fact that we need to reach the next generation. But you know what? I always say this. Follow the money. Follow the money. It's easy to stand behind a pulpit and talk about how important it is to reach teenagers, how important it is to reach children. But the honest truth is, most of these churches won't spend a dime towards trying to get some child out there that don't have a ride to church into the church house. Say, preacher, we just bought a new bus here. Yeah, $2,300. Yeah, over $500 to paint it. That's right. My goodness sakes, couldn't we have put that into pavement fund? Well, yeah, we could have, but we needed a bus. Say, why do you need a bus? Because there's children out there that are without Jesus Christ. There's parents that, for whatever reason, sometimes they work Sundays, and that way, therefore, they can't put their kids on the bus. Sometimes they don't work Sundays, but they just won't get up, but they will send their kids on the bus, and I'll take the kids either way. I'd like to have the whole family, but I'll take the kids either way. You know why? Because they need to be in church. They need to be where they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to be here where they can hear Bible preaching. They need to learn the Ten Commandments. They need to get a moral foundation. Why is our prisons full? Why is our juvenile detention centers overflowing? Why is our court systems backed up? Because for the last two generations, we've withheld our children from the house of the Lord. They haven't learned the simple basic things like the Ten Commandments and rights and wrongs and thou shalt not. And children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Such thinking is foreign to them. Well, we won't take them and set them for 45 minutes in a Sunday school class, but we'll set them for 40 hours in front of a TV set that teaches them disrespect and teaches them that a smart mouth is cool and teaches them to dress wrong and to act wrong and to treat their parents wrong and that all of those things are funny and that's how you're supposed to be. What's wrong with this society is we need to have a revival of parents that'll just get up. Are you listening out there? Are you listening on the radio? Get out of bed. Get your kids addressed. Get your Bible in your hand. Get the family in the vehicle. Get them to the church house. Get them to the church house. Right now, literally, we've got probably almost 150 young people that are not in this auditorium, that are in different places in this church, and they are hearing about Jesus Christ. They are having the Bible preached to them. They are being told about the salvation that's available through Jesus Christ. They're being taught right from wrong. They're being taught, children, obey your parents. They're being taught how to sit and how to listen. And yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You say, oh, that's pretty old-fashioned. Well, I'll tell you this. When we had children that did all those things, we were a pretty great nation back in those days. And we've slipped a long way since we've got away from the principles of God's Word. Now, preacher, why are children the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Why are they number one here at Blessed Baptist Church? Why do we make such an effort to get them into God's house? Let me give you this. First of all, I believe that it's important that we focus on children because children can and should be saved. They can and should be saved. I need to make a public proclamation here. There's so much false teaching, false doctrine. I've heard enough of people question childhood conversions. Can I just share something with you? You're listening this morning to a preacher who was saved as a boy at 5 years of age. Now you can go ahead and say children can't be saved. Well, then something's wrong, because you have a pastor at this church that was saved as a child when I was 5 years old. I want to say this. Children can and should be won to Christ on a regular basis here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And if they are not, we are not doing our job. The old story is told about D.L. Moody, who went out soul winning. When he came back, somebody said, Brother Moody, did you see someone saved? He said, yeah, I had one and a half saved. Oh, you had one adult and one child, thinking that the one was the adult and the half was the child. And he said, no, no, no. He said, I had a child saved and an adult. You see, when you see a child saved, you've saved them and they have their entire life that they can give to Jesus Christ. You see an adult saved, they may only have half of their life. You realize, folks, what a valuable thing it is when we preach the gospel, and when children become saved, they've got a chance from 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age, the rest of their life to be a Christian, the rest of their life to give it to the Lord Jesus Christ for His service. I love all of the ministries here that deal with children. Master's Club, we see children saved. Children's Church, we see children saved. Junior Church, we see children saved. We see children saved in our Sunday school classes, in our Sunday school ministry. We've seen children saved in our Christian school. We've seen children saved in our vacation Bible school and our children outreaches. We've seen children saved through the bus ministry, just on the way into church, riding a bus, and the gospel's preached on the bus, or somebody sits down beside them after Sunday school on the way home and said, "Hey, what did you learn about? What did you think about it?" And they open up their heart and begin to say, "You know what? When that preacher or that Sunday school teacher was teaching, I began to worry about whether or not I'd go to heaven, and I feel like God wants me to be saved." And I'm not talking about not properly dealing with children. I'm not talking about just seeing how many you can get to say a prayer. I'm talking about watching for God, who works in the hearts of children and brings them under conviction and gets them to the point where they realize that they're a sinner and they are being drawn by the Holy Spirit, and they understand the gospel, the plain, simple gospel of Jesus Christ, and they come to a saving knowledge. They're willing to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not sure. I think kids ought to be more like adults before we deal with them about salvation. Well, let's look at verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Isn't it interesting? "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Listen, you know what Jesus said? He said, he did not say a child has to become like an adult before they can get saved. He said an adult has to come like a child before they can get saved. Isn't it wonderful dealing with children? I mean, they have such a simple faith. It's so easy for them to believe the gospel. They put their whole hearts into something. There's a humility about them. Seems like we get older, we get so full of pride, and we have such a hard time humbling ourselves, admitting that we're sinners, and all of these things. They understand that at a very young age. They get those things. Boy, it doesn't take very long for them to grasp the truths of salvation. And next thing you know, God's knocking on the door of their heart, like I preached last week. And you know what? They come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And a child, listen, I'm telling you, at the end of this service, it wouldn't be unusual for us to have some children brought up from children's church that have received Christ as their Savior. You say, "Well, Brother Jerry, is that a big deal?" Yes, it's a big deal. Those children will never have to go to hell. If the rapture happens, they're out of here. You don't have to worry about them going through the tribulation period. They have then the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. They have something that God can build on in their lives. You know what? A mansion has been ordered in their name, and construction is beginning on their mansion in heaven. That means they're going to be celebrating in heaven. There'll be celebration in heaven when a child gets saved. Angels rejoice. Christ triumphed. The devil lost somebody. Every single child that we see saved, let me tell you something, folks, it ought to just bring rejoicing to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want to see children saved. I want to see them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to make sure that they're ready for eternity. Now, let me say a few words to all of us. If we're going to bring the children here, and we do, then every single person at Blessed Hope Baptist Church has some responsibilities. Let me share this with you. Christ views every kindness towards a child as a kindness shown to himself. Let me say that again. Christ views every kindness shown towards a child as a kindness shown to himself. Verse 5, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." You get that? You get that? By the way, you young men, you young ladies, teenagers, don't you be mean to children. "Oh, well, they bother me. They're annoying." Well, I remember when I was a teenager, little children weren't my favorite things at that time. I've since changed a lot since those days. The older you get, the more dear children become to you. But let me tell you something. Every time you're kind to a child, you know what? Jesus said, "I look at that kindness, I look at that act of kindness that you did towards them, and I treat that as if you did it for me." You say, "Preacher, why do you take time for children?" You know why? Because God in heaven's looking down, and he's going to judge this preacher one of these days on how I treated children. I don't understand adults that are mean to children. There's just some things that don't compute in my mind. I got about zero. Let me just say this, zero. And I'm not talking about proper discipline. I'm not talking about biblical discipline. I know as parents, you know what, we have to get on our kids. Sometimes we have to spank our children. And spanking is not a crime. It's not abuse. If it's done right, if it's done correctly, if it's done biblically, it's the right thing to do. But you know what? All of us parents that love our kids know, even when we have to do this, I know the kids don't believe it when we say, "This hurts me." You ever had your parents say this? "This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you." And you're thinking, "I wish it would." But But honestly, I mean, the least favorite thing that I had to do in my life in the reign of our children was discipline our girls. I mean it. I'm standing here and telling you, God opened my heart. The least favorite thing that I had to do was discipline our children, my girls growing up. And I got no pleasure out of it, even though I knew I had to do it, and it was the right thing to do it. I didn't get any pleasure. I don't understand somebody's just mean to kids. I can't hardly read our local paper. I mean, I just want to get in the car and go do some visitation. I understand it. We live in a warped world. People abusing children. Sexually abusing children. Physically abusing children. I don't have any patience for it. I don't have any patience. We walk guard. By the way, we walk guard around this place. Children's ministries here, people in the community know it. There's people that prey on children. And you can not believe what I'm going to say, and you can leave mad. But I think it ought to be a death penalty sin. I think it ought to be a death penalty crime. I mean, just my personal opinion. If I get a vote, that's the way I'd vote. If I was on a jury, that's what I'd ask for. I would. This is a sin. It seems like when it gets into the heart of a person, it's habitual, it's repetitive. It happens again and again and again. I mean, it's a wicked thing. Wicked thing and an unnatural thing. And it's a result of a society that is feasting on pornography. Let me say it again. It's a result of a society feasting on pornography. You young men better listen to this preacher. Oh, well, I got this magazine and I've got this video and I sneak and I watch this. And I'm going to tell you something. You have no idea what that's doing to your mind. Well, I'd never. Well, that's what they thought at one time. I wouldn't cross that line. You don't know what you'll do. You get enough of that garbage floating around in your head, you don't know what you'll do. And the Bible teaches what it teaches on purpose, and that's why, ladies, that the Bible teaches on modesty. That's why it teaches you have a responsibility to walk around in a responsible manner and dress in a responsible manner. I said this on the radio broadcast. It'll be coming on pretty soon. I don't understand. I'm going to say it. I'll say it out loud. Again, get upset if you want to get upset. But I'd like to see some of you girls that have told me that you got saved here, I'd like to see you start changing and acting like you're saved. Amen. And, guys, I'm not saying this so you young men will laugh. And I don't want you laughing. This isn't a funny thing. But I'm telling you right now, there's not a parent in the world that I've been able to talk to that if you lived right here in Jasonville or you lived in Linton, that you would let your daughter walk out the front door in her underwear. And walk down Main Street in her underwear. There's no way in the world. If she tried to do that, you'd be horrified. The neighbors would be calling and the police would be called. But for some reason, you can have her wear something that covers less than underwear sometimes. And go down to the Linton pool and drop them off at the Linton pool. And just because this underwear has polka dots or has stripes on it or is a different color, you'll let your young lady walk around over there wearing as little or less than she would if she's walking down Main Street. And for some reason, that makes sense to you. Well, it don't make sense to God. And you're breaking the Bible commands. It commands a woman to dress modestly. You're breaking the very commands of Almighty God. What I'm saying is every young lady here and every lady here has a responsibility to society, a moral responsibility to walk around this community properly clothed and biblically clothed. You know what? You should not be contributing to the debauchery of a nation. Let me say this to the men, because you know what, men? We have responsibilities too. As much as I'd like to get up here and announce that and think that every lady's going to do it, they're not. But the Bible says that we as men, Christian men, are to exercise discipline in our life. And we're not to look after at a woman and to lust after her. And if we do so, we commit adultery in our heart with her already. And you know what? You're not, young men, going to always be in a situation where the people around you are clothed right. But you know what? If somebody's clothed wrong over here, you keep your eyes left. There's somebody clothed over here wrong, you keep them right. If they're both places, you look ahead. If they're ahead, you look up. Just walk all the way to the parking lot and just pray somebody doesn't run over you. Amen. We're just about there where we have to do that. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of it. I can't get to the car, to the store and back without having to look 15 different ways because the people in this community don't have the decency to cover themselves. Young men, if we're going to require that, young ladies, we ought to require it in ourselves. Don't you run around the area half naked. You don't have to do that, and you shouldn't do that. If it's wrong for the girls, it's wrong for the guys. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying this. You can defend that stuff. You can say it doesn't matter, but it has desensitized a society and a culture to the point where they are crossing lines and committing sins and committing acts that we wouldn't have even been able to dream about 50 years ago, 50, 60 years ago, when modesty was enforced and modesty was the rule in our country. We didn't deal with a lot of these things, at least not to the extent that they're dealt with today. So we have a responsibility. Boy, I feel like a voice crying in the wilderness when I preach on these things. I mean this. It's gotten so bad. In the 70s and 80s, we felt a little funny preaching on these things. But now, in this culture, you just feel like a voice crying in the wilderness. People look at you like you've lost your mind. And the honest truth is, if you take a half a second and use just common sense, you'd know what this preacher just said is 100% right. God views every kindness towards a child as a kindness shown to himself. God promises judgment upon those who lead little children astray. The Bible says here, warns about in verse number 9, or verse number 6, whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. You won't remember, but about 2 years ago I preached and got on this same subject. I didn't know it at that time. We had a first-time visitor here at the church. I'm going to tell you, young people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I don't tell you everything because you don't need to know everything. Now, some of you think you need to know everything, but you don't need to know everything. But I preached on this subject 2 years ago. Had a man that was a convicted child molester. First time he'd slipped in the back of our church, and I got up here and preached on millstone judgment, justice. And I said, let me tell you something. You touch a kid around here, I'm going to tell you what I believe ought to happen to you. They ought to put you on a boat, take you out in the middle of Shackamack Lake, take an old-fashioned millstone, tie a rope on it, on that millstone, tie the other end around your neck, toss that millstone in that lake, and watch you go. You preacher, you don't really believe that. Yeah, I really believe that. Yeah, me and Jesus agree on this. Sorry that you don't agree with Jesus on this, but me and Jesus agree on this. Boy, you know what? That guy came out the back and he wouldn't even meet my eye and he made some sorry comment on his way out. He hasn't been back since. Good. You know why? There's a lot of parents around here and their children are preaching. Wouldn't you like to see that guy saved? I preached the gospel that morning also. Isn't it interesting? Gospel didn't bother him at all, but that bothered him. Gospel didn't speak to him at all. You better understand, folks, there's some folks that have been given over to a reprobate mind. You go to Romans chapter 1, they've been given over to a reprobate mind. And we're going to stand in defense of these. I like what verse 10 teaches us. It says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels, notice it says their angels, that's a plural personal pronoun. Their angels, referring back to the children, the little ones. Their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. You say, preacher, do you believe that children have guardian angels? According to that verse, I'd say amen. Amen. Aren't you glad, Mom? Aren't you glad, Dad? I'm going to tell you something. You think you can watch your kids? And it may not be so hard if you just got one. Wait, do you have two? The one's a challenge. Try to watch two of them. It's amazing. We've lost our children several times. Several times we lost our children. One time, we were living out in Clay City, and Amanda was about the age of Ariana. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a joy for this daddy to watch Amanda have Ariana. Payday someday is written in the Constitution of God's universe. She was about that age right there, and Cheryl was in the house, and I was in the house, and she wanted to play on the front step, so you know how you let them do, and about every minute we'd peek out the door, or every minute we'd look out the window. Cheryl was washing dishes where she could still see, and she got busy. It wasn't 60 seconds. And we lived, this little house had a hillside. You went down in the driveway and a big lane off the road, so we were ways away from the road. And that little burger decided all of a sudden she was going to take off for the road. We both were distracted. 60 seconds. We looked out there. I said, where's Ariana? All of a sudden I heard a horn blow out in the road. Beep. I went, your heart just stops. I run out. And there is not Ariana, I keep saying Ariana, I'm blaming Ariana. There's Amanda. And there is Amanda out there. She had gotten down that hill and went all the way down there, was standing in the middle of the road. And she had a car stop this way and about two behind it, and a car stop this way and about two behind it. And I heard a horn beep, and I went out there, and I went, oh, you know, and I'm running down there, you know. Just standing out there going, hey, how's it going? Hey, everybody, how you doing, man, you know. I got down to the end of that lane, and I'm sorry, it's her mother, I'm sorry. It's her mother's fault. Yeah, take the mother to jail, please, amen. And I got the cars to go, and I got her off the side of the road. And you know what? That was a long lane, but it was a longer lane going back. I'll tell you why. Because I swatted her hind end every step of the way from there all the way back to that. I was really probably ought to spanked myself and spanked my wife. That would have been fun. But I probably should have spanked myself. Well, you just felt God leave the premises right there. Whoosh! God just left the premises, amen. We might have seen someone saved here this morning, but that ain't going to happen now. But I spanked her all the way up there, and I'm talking about, you know what, aren't you glad, folks, listen to me, you think about this, how many times, as a parent, aren't you glad that, you know what, there's a guardian angel watching over your children? I'm going to say this, and I want you to get to it. I want you to get it. You know what? I think as parents, we ought to do everything we can to build in every safeguard we can. I think every day we ought to get on our knees and say, oh, God, please. But at the end of every day, you know what? If our children are safe at the end of every day, it's more God than us. We better just understand that it's more God than us. Aren't you glad about that? I'm going to stop. I'm going to finish with this thought. But man, I don't know why I'm wrapping it up. It's only about 12 minutes to 11. And that's exciting. Look at that. Woo! Man, I got another sermon in here somewhere. Man, I like. Look at this. Praise the Lord. But the honest truth, I want you to listen to what I'm going to say here. Yes, Christ, I believe God in heaven provides guardian angels to watch over the children. But I want to say this. I believe that every single person in this church who watches over the children in this church, I believe that they're angels. Now, I mean that. I mean it with all the depths of my heart. Some people don't want to be bothered with children. Shame on you. I mean it. You need a revival in that area of your life. You don't want to be bothered with children. You don't want to be inconvenienced with children. You don't want to have the responsibility of children. I mean it. I feel sorry for you. I really feel sorry for you. Because in that area of your life, you're not very Christ-like. I want to say to every lady, and some of them are back there right now in the nursery, and they're watching on the screens in the nursery, and probably not hearing me because they got 15 kids they're trying to take care of, but those are angels that work back there in that nursery. Those are angels that work back there in that nursery. And I mean it. We've got a great staff here that works in our nursery. And we've got a good nursery director, and it's run right, and we keep things right. Now, I know that everybody's fine with the nursery until they have a baby, and all of a sudden, if you're not careful, you'll get hypercritical. You listen to me. Some of you are fine with the nursery till you get a grandchild, and then you become hypercritical. The honest truth is, I'll go to that nursery, and I'll check it, and then I'll come into your house sometime this week, unannounced, and I'll check your house. Now, stop being critical about the nursery. And by the way, volunteer to go help in the nursery. Angels work back there. I'm so glad that through the years, I mean, me and Cheryl, with our three little ones, we could come to church and we could take our babies and we could give them to people that would care about them. And we had a chance just for a little bit of a break as young parents dealing with children, especially my wife. You mothers, you know that you do the lion's share of this. And what a blessing for a mother just to be able to come and sit down in church and listen to a message and be helped by God and have somebody that they know is taking care of their children. I'm very careful, folks, in our junior church, Mrs. Stephanie Walton. I'm going to tell you, she's done this for years and years and years. And honestly, I know, Brother Tommy, I know this is probably true. I know the older you get, the harder it is. I'm sure she's getting at an age where at some point we're probably going to have to plug in somebody younger in that. But I'm going to tell you something. When that day comes, I'm going to weep because she has been so rock solid. And there's not a parent in here that's ever had to worry about putting a child underneath Stephanie Walton and those workers' care down there and have any worry that that child is not going to be loved and cared about and treated right and disciplined. I'm not talking about unreasonably, but made to sit and taught to behave, but loved while they're doing it. Loved while they're doing it. I appreciate it. I mean, folks, everybody in this church probably ought to one time you ought to just say, preacher, just come to me. Just come to me and say, preacher, can I this Sunday just one time go out and be in junior church? Now, don't do it all of you next Sunday, because, well, matter of fact, you could. I could go home and no, but don't do it all of the same. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what? We have about 10, 12 workers out there. Had 85 in Michael and Corey's children's church out. 85. What, by the way, why did we put Michael in charge of? Was that your decision? Here I am. I'm just all of a sudden. I'm scared now. You know. Bethany, should I be scared right now? Yeah, yeah. She's thinking, man alive, you could put him with kids. Are you crazy? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Michael, even as a teenager, Michael had a heart for children. He loved children. He was one of the best teenage children's workers that we had, and I always kept my eye on him and thought, you know, one of these days, the Lord keeps him here and keeps him right. You know what? Boy, he's going to make a good, somewhere in this ministry, he'll make a good children's, maybe master's club, maybe a children's church, maybe a Sunday school too, but he'll make a good children's worker. He's out there, and Greg and Tanya Burcham help him, and we've got other adults and some teenagers. You know what, folks? They're angels. Angels. Every single one of you that watch out for children, you're angels. I watch sometimes a kid wander in, they don't know where to go, and I see somebody get up and say, hey, can I help you? What age are you at? Let me help you find. You just did angel work. You did angel work. Those of you that keep an eye on these children, make sure that they don't get out in the cars, ushers and different people that work the parking lot. That's angel work. Those of you driving those buses, that's angel work. Angel work. I had one of our boys come up. He got so excited about this. I talked about our bus ministry, and I said, some of the bus routes, we got to have somebody called a puddle jumper. And he kind of looked like, what's that? I said, there's always got to be a teenage boy on every route that just is willing. When they get to a house, he jumps off that bus. We call them puddle jumpers, because when it's raining, to run from where the bus is to the house, you have to jump over puddles, you know. And they'll run up to the door, knock on the door, and get the children by the hand and bring them to the bus and get them safely on and get them. That's angel work. That's angel work. That's angel work. Mama, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. And I know there's all kinds of situations, and I'm not upset with you if you can't. I'm really not. But there's also a lot of mothers that have just said, you know what, we won't have as much as the people across the street, and we won't have as much as if I went out and got a full-time job. But God gave me these babies to raise. Let me tell you what you're doing, Mama. You're doing angel work. You're not some second-class citizen. Don't you dare let somebody make you feel like some kind of second-class citizen because you're a stay-at-home mom. That's angel work. Angel work. That's angel work. Daddies, I know we're busy. And I know sometimes, you know, between everything that's going on in your life, if you're not careful, the children start slipping down the priority list. Let me just encourage you. Take time for them babies. You take time for those children. You take time for them when they're young teenagers, and you take time for them all through their life. You know why? That's angel work. That's angel work. You know what? I believe this. I'm going to say this. I believe, and it's not that we don't need divine help. God, we do. I don't want to be taken wrong here. But I'm not sure that all the guardian angels that get all these kids through the week and ride the bus with them, I'm not sure that they're all not sitting out there on the porch right now taking a break. I'm not sure they're not just saying, you know what? We got them here, and as long as we've got them here, there's enough angels around here taking care of the kids. We can take a break here. We'll get them on the way back out the door, but let's just take a break. And I know some of these kids, those angels need a break. There's a couple of them. I think some of our grandkids have worn out two or three angels already. You know, there's a nursing home up in heaven with angels that have been given nervous breakdowns. And I know some of you others. I'm trying not to make eye contact with some of you, but some of you parents know. You know your child's wore out a couple of guardian angels. I'm not sure that they're not out there right now saying, you know what? Let's just take a break here, because this is a place that we know that they'll be taken care of. Folks, listen, children are important. Boy, you're important, young people. I look around at you. You have no idea the wonderful potential of your life. Whether you're a child or whether you're a teenager, God loves you. And you know what? You say, preacher, you talked about being saved. And, well, I've never been saved. Maybe you're a teenage young man. I've never been saved. I don't know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God loves you so much, He sent Jesus to die for you. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me. So how about this? Jesus loves the little children. Yeah, and the big ugly teenagers too. He loves them too. He does. He loves everybody. He loves every one of you young ladies. He loves every one of you young men. And if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, God wants that for you more than He wants anything else in this world. And this preacher wants that for you more than I want anything in this world. And the people in this church want that for you more than they want anything else in this world. They're praying for you right now if you've never been saved. I'm a little embarrassed about walking forward and telling somebody I'm unsaved. Don't be embarrassed. You've got a whole church full of people rooting for you. You've got a whole bunch of them praying for you. There's going to be a bunch of rejoicing this morning. Just make that decision. I was a child, when I went to church and learned that I was lost, got under conviction. I was a child when I stepped out into an aisle and walked down and took the preacher's hand. I was a child when I knelt down on an altar and had him open the Bible and through childhood tears prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior. I was a child. You may be here this morning as a child or a teenager, as an adult. You say, preacher, I've never done that. I need to be saved. Come and be saved today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We do want to have a word of prayer, but with our heads bowed and our eyes closed before we pray, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Have you ever? Have you? Is God dealing with your heart right now? God is prompting your heart and stirring your heart. Preacher, I know that I'm not saved, and I know I ought to be saved. I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. And I want to be saved today. Preacher, I want to be saved today. I'm not saved, but I want to be saved. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not saved, but I want to be saved today. Can I pray for you? If you're not saved, would you just slip your hand up real quick so I could see it, so I can pray for you? I won't embarrass you. I won't come get you. I won't call your name, I promise. But I do want to pray for you. I'm not saved, preacher. Would you pray for me? I'm not saved. If I died right now, I don't know what would happen. But I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Would you lift your hand? Anybody at all? Preacher, how many of you would say, preacher, what you said this morning about children, what the Bible says about children, that's how I feel about it also. I want to be part of a church. I want to be a part of a church. I want to be a part of a church that loves children and reaches children and works with children. I'm glad I'm here. And I feel the same way you do about it, preacher. Would you raise your hand? I'm in agreement with you, preacher. That's what we need. That's what we got to keep doing. Amen. Lord, I pray you'd bless us. Do a work of grace in our hearts. Be with that one that maybe was too timid to raise their hand, but they know they need salvation. May they be saved today. Now, Lord, before it's eternally too late, help them to understand, Lord, the importance of this decision. One heartbeat, one breath away from eternity. That's where all of us are. One breath, one heartbeat away from eternity. Help us not to put off salvation, we pray.